Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets you'll see overhead in March. One great thing about this month is that the northern hemisphere is starting to thaw out from winter, so the nights aren't nearly so cold, and yet the dazzling winter stars are still overhead. When I hear March, I automatically think equinox, which marks the start of spring in the northern hemisphere and autumn in the southern hemisphere. This year, it occurs on the 20th at 12:57 p.m. Eastern Time. By then, those of us in the U.S. and Canada will have been on daylight time for nearly 2 weeks, beginning on March 9th. But our European friends wait to begin their summertime until the 30th, and in Mexico, the switch doesn't occur until April 6th. This must be a tough time of year to set up airline schedules. Anyway, no matter what the clock shows, a stunning array awaits you overhead once the sun sets. Start by turning left, away from the sunset point, until you're looking south. There, in the deepening blue, you'll find the first star of the evening, brilliant Sirius, the Dog Star. How early in twilight can you pick it up? Any time during the first days of March, make a note of the horizon point directly below this beacon at 8 p.m. That's very nearly due south. Sirius is the brightest star in the entire sky by a wide margin, aside from our own sun, of course, in part because it's a close neighbor in space, just 8.5 light-years away. Sirius is the real star of the winter season, but you can see it throughout much of the year if you know when to look. Sometime in August, it first becomes visible low in the east shortly before dawn. 5,000 years ago, because of the wobble of Earth's spin axis, this first pre-dawn appearance occurred in late June, and ancient Egyptians knew that the first glimpse of Sirius came just before the annual flooding of the Nile River. They worshipped the star as the spirit of the river. Apparently, they were also the first to depict this star as a dog. In more recent times, sky watchers realized that this dog star rises and sets with the sun during late July, an arrangement in the sky known as a conjunction. Some cultures believe that the heat from Sirius, combined with the heat of the sun, creating the hot and sultry weather that often comes in late summer. So they name this period of time, from 20 days before that conjunction to 20 days afterward, the dog days. And today we still refer to this sticky weather as the dog days of summer. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's stick to March. As dusk deepens, look to the upper right of Sirius to spot the mighty constellation Orion the Hunter. Its two brightest stars are white Rigel, which marks Orion's lower left foot, and orange-red Betelgeuse, his upper left shoulder. Midway between them, look for the three-star row of Orion's belt. Once you've spotted Betelgeuse, look to its left for the bright star Procyon. These two stars, together with Sirius, form a big equilateral triangle, known as the Winter Triangle to sky watchers. But this year, there's something extra in this celestial geometry. That would be Jupiter, high up and not far from overhead. You can't miss it. Jupiter easily outshines Procyon and Betelgeuse to its lower right and left, and it's nearly twice the brightness of Sirius lower down. These four beacons make an enormous diamond shape. It's about four times as tall as the width of your clenched fist held at arm's length. The Winter Diamond. Hey, I like it. To the left of Jupiter are a pair of bright stars stacked vertically and just a few degrees apart. These are creamy-colored Pollux and icy-white Castor, the twins of Gemini. They're similar in brightness, so to tell which one is which, just remember that Pollux, with a P, is the one closer to Procyon. The rest of Gemini's twin bodies stretch out to the right, toward west. Now look about three fists to the lower left of Gemini, where you'll find a reasonably bright star parked well over the horizon. That's Regulus, the key star, the alpha star in Leo the Lion. Regulus sits at the bottom of a backward question mark that stretches toward upper left. Can you see it? That's the lion's head and mane. His hindquarters and tail are marked by a triangle of medium bright stars down to the lower left. At this time of year, I think of Leo rising up in the east as a harbinger of spring, just like Orion's climb a few months ago told me winter was coming. This month features a whopper of a sky event involving Regulus. It happens in the wee hours of Thursday, March 20th, within a few minutes of 2:07 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. That's when Regulus will disappear from view for up to 14 seconds for anyone along a wide swath that runs from New York City through upstate New York, Ontario, and Quebec. This disappearing act, called an occultation, is due to the passage of an asteroid named Erigone directly between Regulus and us. It's the first time in history that such a strikingly obvious asteroid occultation has been predicted to cross such a heavily populated area. It'll be exciting to watch. But if you're not inside the path, you'll see no change in Regulus at all. And you won't see the asteroid either, because it's too faint. See the March issue of Sky and Telescope for more details. Okay, back to our regularly scheduled program. Around 11 p.m., low in the east, you'll see a bright star that's slightly red to the eye. That's no star, it's the planet Mars. Don't confuse it with Aldebaran, a star that's higher up and a little farther left, which is also tinged with red. The red planet's color contrasts nicely with the icy white of a star called Spica, or Spica, situated close by and just to the right. By the end of March, this planet-star pairing rises quite a bit earlier, about 9 p.m. On the evening of the 18th, they're joined by a just-past full moon that's sliding past them a few degrees away. Since you and Orion are old friends by now, I'd like you to make a special effort to view the Mighty Hunter sometime between March 22nd and the 30th. That's when thousands of sky watchers around the world will be using Orion's stars to gauge how much light pollution they've got. It's quick, easy, and fun. No telescope or special equipment is needed. Just go to the website globeatnight.org. Download the handy star charts there, match your view to the charts, and log in online to record your observation. If you want more sky watching tips, check out our official website, skyandtelescope.com. Next month, I'll talk about some carnivores that are stalking upward in the eastern sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.